Toronto FC getting set for the second leg of their Eastern Final against the Columbus Crew following a 0-0 draw against the Crew earlier this week. Pleased to be joined on the line now by John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet. And John, our technical producer, Emil Delich, wanted to play this nice little jazz tune for you to get you all hyped up for this segment.
I appreciate that. I always like it when you guys class it up for me.
Yeah, we were wearing suits. I'm wearing a suit anyways. Sherry's wearing a nice ball gown. It's a very classy edition.
He's lying. I'm wearing sweats and a ball cap.
I'm in sweats too, so don't feel
excellent.
Bad.
Excellent. Yeah.
All good.
I wish I was, but I felt like I had to be a little bit professional for this show tonight. It's also cold at this time of year, so I felt like I would wear a sweater. But we know it's going to be cold coming up next week, John, in the second leg at BMO Field. But Toronto FC is going to have everybody back with Sebastian Giovinco and Josie Altidor, of course, as they are off their suspension. And, you know, we're all expecting TFC to, you know, obviously with Josie and Sebastian back, to have a different formation and a different look, and going back to the way things were done previously at the start of this season and for much of the year. But how aggressive do you think they're going to be? Obviously, they need to get the win in order to advance, but if it's one goal, two goal, I guess it doesn't really matter as long as they get the job done next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be aggressive. I think they'll be, you know, the quote-unquote normal TFC that we come to expect. I mean, with Seba and Josie coming back, I think it'll be a radically different, not just tactical formation, but approach from compared to what we saw on Tuesday in Ohio. That game was about just seeing things out and not giving anything away and heading back to Toronto in a good position, especially when you're playing without your top two, you know, goal scorers. They got the result they wanted, and they set themselves up nicely to finish the job at BMO Field next Wednesday, and I fully expect them to kind of go out and go for it and, you know, play their normal game, which is to, you know, dictate possession, dictate the pace of the game, put their opponents on the back foot, and just, you know, apply pressure and turn the screw as much as they can.
I'm sure all fans were just breathing a sigh of relief when they got that result, but, you know, obviously it's nice to have Josie Altidor and Seba back in the lineup, but Sebastian Giovinco hasn't scored from the run of play since August. Are we going to see him heat up now that we're just in the, you know, final end of these playoffs?
Well, I don't know that he's been terribly cold, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I take your point about not scoring in open play, but he has scored some
pretty nice
free kick goals. And, you know, he's, even though he's not necessarily scoring from the run of play, he's always in the mix, right? He's just not finishing chances, or he's had calls go against him, or he's hit posts. So I don't think he's been that far off his game. Now, certainly, a goal from open play would certainly, you know, wouldn't hurt and, you know, do, you know, serve TFC well. But, he's still one of the league's premier performers. So, I suspect he lives for games like these, and I think he fully appreciates the gravity of the situation and what's going on in this winner-take-all, essentially, game on next Wednesday. So, you know, hopefully he'll be on the top of his normal form.
On paper, John, this obviously sets up really well. We talked about the returning players. TFC's been so good at home this year, and the Crew have not been as good away from MAPFRE Stadium. But what would worry you if you were Greg Vanney heading into this game in regards to, obviously, the opponents in the Crew and what may or may not happen with your team?
Well, I mean, I'd be leery of guys like Justin Miram and Federico Higuain. These are two talented, midfield players. And Higuain, especially, the Argentine, has had, you know, a pretty good track record of success against TFC during his career. I think it's 7 goals and 7 assists and 14 appearances or something like that. So he's someone who can conjure something out of nothing at, you know, the drop of a hat. So I think he's a player that, you know, TFC have to be particularly careful of. And as I said, Justin Miram is a very good, promising player. And I think he just, the way he sort of takes on defenders and, you know, kind of creates, opportunities for himself and other teammates, I think they have to be a little bit leery of him and his touches on the ball. But, you know, if they can do a good job of containing them, and again, just do what they normally do, which is, you know, build from the back, dominate possession, try to get their opponents, you know, swarm them and put them on the back foot, then I think they'll be in a pretty good position to see things out on Wednesday.
Obviously, without their two big scorers, that was a success to have the 0-0 result. But I don't like these, the weight on an away goal. I'm not a big fan of it. I just really want to know what you think.
Yeah, you know, if I'm being perfectly honest, Sherry, I'm not exactly thrilled with it either. I just don't know what the other alternative is. I mean, you have to have some sort of tiebreaker. And, you know, I think, you know, on the away goal, I think what it does do is it incentivizes teams from being a little creative on, you know, when they go on the road and not sitting back and playing for a dour result. Although, you know, having said that, Toronto's didn't incentivize TFC this week to go out and do anything. But I just don't know what the alternative is. I don't know how else you would break the tie or, you know, how you can settle matters. I think it's, until someone can come up with a better solution, I think it's the best that we have to work with.
John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter from Sportsnet, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight, Rob Wong and Sherry Ford, as we chat about Toronto FC, who will host the Columbus Crew in the second leg of their East Final next Wednesday. It's a game we will have on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Kickoff at 7:30, pregame gets going at 7 o'clock. And, you know, obviously, John, you wrote about it in your most recent piece about Alex Bono and how incredible he's been in this playoff so far. I mean, a couple of massive saves that has really kind of changed the outlook for Toronto FC in these playoffs so far. I mean, hard to believe, you know, where they would be without him. Obviously, they have a lot of depth in that position, but he's just been exceptional over the last couple of seasons now, ever since he's gotten a real opportunity here.
I think he's been, you know, as I wrote, I think the most influential and important player for TFC in this postseason. Each of the three games, he's made huge save at critical junctures in the game that really sort of either, you know, turned the tide for Toronto or allowed them to hold on to what they have. I really think in the second leg against New York, when they were down 1-0, and he makes that save in the 60th minute against Bradley Wright Phillips when he's breaking it on goal. Bradley Wright Phillips, you know, scores. New York goes up 2-0, and I really think they would have gone on to win the aggregate series. But Bono comes up with a huge save, and, you know, TFC was, you know, holds on for the final 30 minutes. So he's been, he's come up big when he's had to. And, you know, it's kind of much like hockey. You get like a good goalkeeper who can come up with big saves in, you know, key moments, then that goes a long way in the MLS playoffs. You know, and it's, I think it's a great story because Alex, of course, you know, only made his MLS debut last year, was a backup, got a brief run of games when Clint Irwin was injured in the summer, and then was, you know, sent back to being the backup for the rest of the season. Came into this preseason and won the starting job over Irwin, who is, you know, the far more experienced player. And TFC hasn't really missed a beat. I mean, Alex, I think he's really sort of emerged as one of the young up-and-coming goalkeepers in the league and, you know, plays with a maturity and a composure that I think is far beyond his 23 or 24 years, however old he is. So I think it's, you know, he's been a wonderful story this year for TFC, and I think he's been, as I said, a key contributor in this playoff run.
TFC fans are obviously spoiled with El Tidor and Javanko, but sometimes I forget, we also have Michael Bradley, and he was really a beautiful guiding and settling presence and really just a huge player in that game.
Absolutely, yeah. I think he was, I mean, I've said this and I've written this so many times. I think he's the reference point for TFC, both on the field when they play. He sets the tone, but also off the field with just his attitude and the way he demands excellence from everyone, including himself, at every minute of the day. I think we saw in that game just how important he is because he, you know, in a sort of a reduced role, you know, playing for a little bit further back in front of the back four and having to protect them, you know, breaking up plays, but also serving as, you know, that first pass out from the back to sort of set TFC off and transition forward. It's a role that he handles with, I think, real aplomb and real, you know, skill. And he's the type of player who I don't think is generally appreciated. Or, you know, his is a very subtle game, Sherry. He's not the type to score goals. In fact, he hasn't scored a goal this year. And he doesn't, it's not particularly flashy, and it's not a sexy position that he plays, but it's so, I think, central to what TFC does. He is sort of the fulcrum by which, you know, that team operates. So, such an incredible player. And I thought he was, you know, TFC's best player of the game on Tuesday in Columbus.
It's funny. I was going to ask you that about how, you know, people kind of perceive him. As you mentioned, he doesn't have the flashiest game. He's not a guy out there. He can score you a goal occasionally. And when he does, sometimes they are pretty spectacular. But you know, I imagine that, you know, TFC hardcore fans and the people that watch this team on a regular basis, they know what he brings to this team. But does he almost seem like a guy that maybe when his time is up in Toronto and people kind of look back and look at his career and think, man, he probably was the best player this franchise has had, I guess, from a standpoint and how he kind of affected the team on a game-to-game basis and like you talked about off the pitch as well?
I think so. And I think, you know, people, you know, fans and media and just general observers of the team, I think they know that now. I don't think it'll take until he's gone or when his career is over to fully appreciate. I think Canadians, you know, specifically Toronto soccer fans, appreciate what they have in Michael Bradley. More so, I would suggest, than fans south of the border. I think, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know if it's hate or mistrust or what it is, but they really don't like Bradley all that much. And I think, you know, they were never too crazy about him to begin with. And, you know, certainly the World Cup failure, you know, he's bearing a lot of brunt for that because he's been receiving boos in every away game since he's played since then. That's a little unfair. I mean, the U.S. had a lot of problems, but, you know, Michael Bradley's play was not, I don't think it was their biggest problem. And that's not to say he played poorly or was the main reason that the U.S. didn't qualify, far from it. But for some reason, I guess because he's the captain, and because he's a multimillionaire too, he kind of, you know, gets especially harsh treatment, which is unfair. As I said, I think he's a wonderful player and just a great guy as well. I mean, you talk to him and, you know, he's someone who's very social conscious. You know, he'll talk about stuff like, you know, I've interviewed him about, you know, with, you know, Donald Trump and stuff like with, you know, the mass shootings in the U.S. or, you know, gay and lesbian rights, and he always speaks his mind, and he's you know, speaks on these subjects very thoughtfully, and with a great deal of you know, insight. So I think just overall, he's been a fantastic servant for this club.
I got to tell you, John, every playoff game until this one coming up, I felt very unsettled. I just didn't. Yeah. I don't know. And this one coming up next Wednesday, I'm like, oh, it's in the bag, and that actually is probably a really scary way to look at it when you get two of your superstars back. How do they guard against that? Because my guess is I'm not the only one feeling this way. What are the keys to making sure that they put away Columbus?
Well, I think just kind of, you know, the chances that they do create, that they put them away. I think, you know, if they can get an early goal, you know, even in the first half, not necessarily in the first few minutes, but if they can take an early lead, then I think that'll do a great deal of good because then Columbus has to play catch-up. I think the longer it goes, you know, scoreless, nil-nil, and the longer that TFC needs a goal, then, you know, you worry about them becoming a little harried and hurried and, you know, trying a bit too hard to make things happen. But if they can settle themselves early with a goal and really kind of come out, you know, blistering and from the opening kickoff and putting Columbus under pressure, you know, I think that's the best thing for them. As far as, you know, I don't think they're going to be complacent about this. I appreciate that you and I and most people are pretty confident they're going to get a result. But, you know, they don't think that way. And just, and again, this is probably Michael Bradley's influence, but, you know, he wouldn't allow that, right? I mean, yeah. This guy is, you know, I've interviewed a lot of athletes in my time. I don't know that I've ever met a more concentrated, more focused, more serious athlete than Michael Bradley. He is just on all the time. You know, I suspect when he goes home after he plays with his kids and has dinner with his wife and they're all in bed that he's just, you know, fully on soccer, 24, like just constantly. So he doesn't seem to turn it off. So, again, you know, as I said, he sets the tone for this club. So this any idea of, you know, we've got this in the bag or, you know, we can kind of, you know, take it easy, not going to happen because he simply wouldn't allow that. I mean, he would, you know, that's totally against, you know, what he's just his style and, you know, his DNA, as a matter of fact. So I don't see it happening.
John, I know you mentioned in your last piece as well on Sportsnet.ca that Greg Vanney should be MLS Coach of the Year, and on paper it definitely makes sense. But what would be the case against him, despite the fact that his team had the most remarkable season in the history of the league?
Well, I mean, as I wrote, I mean, I think the you know, people will point out that, well, of course they finished first place. I mean, he has a little, the highest payroll in the league and, you know, the most stars to the team. And he has, you know, Sebastian Giovinco, who's, you know, league MVP candidate, and Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley. And you throw in Victor Vasquez. And it's one of the deepest, if not the deepest teams in the league. And people are going to say, well, of course, you know, he's done well. But, you know, I make the argument that, you know, money doesn't guarantee success. And it's true that, you know, he has a deep roster and he has, you know, star-studded in many ways talent roster. But it still takes a coach to bring all that together. It's not a matter, simple matter of throwing the players out on the field and say, okay, boys, go at it. You have to sort of lay a tactical framework and foundation by which, you know, they have to accomplish their goals. And I think he's done that. His tactical imprint is all over this franchise. You know, as much as, you know, TFC's talent has carried them a lot this season, they also owe a great deal of success to, you know, the coaching job and the managing style of Greg Vanney. So that, to me, is, I think, one of the reasons why, you know, he should be a coach of the year. We'll find out Monday.
And if there was an award for crowd of the year, I mean, I'm telling you, since I moved here, I just cannot get over the TFC crowds, and
yeah.
They're great. I feel they're the best fans. What can we expect next week when, you know, this very important game is on the line?
Well, I think what we normally expect, just a real boisterous, you know, party-like atmosphere. It's such a unique atmosphere to Toronto, Sherry. I mean, I you know, whenever people ask me, you know, because I've been to a lot of games in Europe, in some very famous stadiums, whether it's in Italy or England or Spain, and friends will ask me, well, what's the European soccer experience like? And I'm not exaggerating when I say that Toronto has really kind of captured that. Maybe not to the same sort of level, but I mean, it's not far off, you know, with the chanting and the singing and, you know, the fans, you know, hanging on every single play. It's a very passionate, it's a very involved, engaged fan base. And, you know, I don't think that's going to be any different next week when the stakes are so high. I think, you know, they're going to, as I said, hang on every play and will their team on to win. So I think it's, you know, for me, it's easily one of the best sports atmospheres, I think, not just in Toronto, but all of Canadian sports. You know, it's really something to see when that audience and that crowd is in full voice and full, you know, TFC mode. It's really something to behold.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun to see what happens next Wednesday. It'll be a game you can hear on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, kickoff at 7:30, pregame at 7 o'clock. Thanks so much for doing this, John. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Enjoy your evening.
You too. There's Sean Molinaro, chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet. And the second leg between TFC and Columbus goes next Wednesday. And like I mentioned, you can hear it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with the kickoff at 7:30, pregame at 7. Greg Brady and James Sharman will have the call.